All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 525 for Thursday, June 29th, 2009. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and really hoping I'm not coming down with any wandering plague just because I was traveling last week. And if I forgot to say on the show that we weren't doing a show last week, oops, sorry. But
that's right, I rocked up early for a show and we was told there's no show. Even I didn't fucking know, and I'm on the fucking show.
I thought you guys might have done decking pure while I was gone. Like, you know, wouldn't be the first time.
That would require motivation.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because you guys had a bunch of fucked up sounds that you used. Like, you versed my voice, you versed a bunch of the normal sounds we use on the show. So. Anyways. So. But we're back, and, yeah, really hoping I'm not coming down with something. That would suck. Hopefully it's just all the bad air coming from Canada. Anyways. So, I guess I should finish the opening. We have a madman. What's up, madman?
Nothing much. I'm waiting for a tornado to sweep me off to Oz.
At least that'll be fun. And we have an
Hopefully that Oz is the cartoon Oz and not Oz the prison from the show.
Oh, no. I was going to say, hopefully those ruby slippers adjust size when you get them. Anyways, and we have an RU.
Hello.
What's up?
I realized, I didn't realize this week, but my wife realized for me this week that I have a 6-week memory gap from when I had my accident for being in hospital for 6 weeks and then going home. I don't remember anything of that 6 weeks. And I've been trying to remember something, but I can't. I cannot account for 6 weeks. I have no idea what fucking happened.
You were acting as an agent of the government for 6 weeks and then they just...
You would think I'd have some recollection because it would have been a stressful period in my life. I don't remember shit. It is really bizarre.
Well,
we're going to need to see if you've been anally probed.
I wouldn't know, madman. I could have been a rape puppet for 6 weeks. You know?
Well, that's not disturbing at all.
Oh, I know it. It fucking stresses me out, man. The fuck happened to me for 6 goddamn fucking weeks?
Have you checked Have you checked yourself for scars or tattoos that you do not recognize?
I mean, granted, it was like 15, 16 years ago, but fuck. I mean, yeah, 6 weeks. It's stressing me out a little, man. But I also want to figure out what drugs I was on and can I get more?
Are you wanting them for yourself or others?
Call them A, call them B.
So, anyways, let's move on here. So, I don't know that either of you guys would have seen it. Have you seen any of what's going on with Red Hat?
No.
Okay, so I've got a couple of news articles. Well, I've got a news article here, and... oh no, Cycros' employer has made a mistake. They're going to let him play with bank wires. So the account number, I want you to keep in mind, Cycros, just if you ever want a fat finger... No, I'm kidding. Please do not commit international wire fraud. That never ends well for anyone once you get caught.
Unless you're the Bidens, and then it's completely fucking fine.
Yeah, then they just want you to pay taxes on it. So... we'll throw this out here because IT Pro has an article on it here. So what Red Hat's source code restriction means for business. The announcement has caused a stir in the industry with some users still investigating the degree to which they'll affect it. Red Hat has announced it will be limiting public access to Red Hat Enterprise Linux source code to CentOS Stream. So I don't know how much you guys probably follow, probably not at all, because it's kind of a... kind of, if you're not in it, you probably don't care. So Red Hat is probably the leading enterprise Linux distro. Like, it's the one you buy because you can get a support contract for it. And a lot of companies, banks, like to use Red Hat because they've got a contract, so they've got a throat to choke, so to speak. And a lot of regulators like seeing that because it means that, you know, the company's not on their own trying to fix problems if something goes wrong with Linux. In fact, you'll see some businesses that refuse to use open source software at all, not because it's not there's anything wrong with the software, but because they cannot get around the regulations of the required amounts of support for it, which I honestly believe is one of the major reasons Oracle is still in business. Because almost nothing Oracle provides is unique in this day and age, and there's a lot of open source software to easily replace most of what Oracle does, but Oracle's an established name, and all the regulators know how to deal with it, and on and on and on. So, but anyways, so IBM bought Red Hat. Was it 5 years ago? I forget when they actually did it. You know, Red Hat was independent until then. IBM buys Red Hat. When did that happen? That was in 2019. So yeah, okay, almost 5 years ago. And I may have talked about it on Decking at the time. It's like, well, let's see what happens, because IBM doesn't exactly have the greatest track record when it comes to open source or community software or even well-managed enterprise products. It's a very arrogant company. A couple of times I've had to work with IBM engineers, and oh my God, I just wanted to smack the living shit out of them. It's like, oh, well, your design engineer should have done this. We don't have a design engineer. Well, you should have had a design engineer. Okay, how would I have known that? Yours is a sales engineer. Well, you needed to put in a ticket to get a design engineer. Okay, who would have told me to do that? Oh, it's on the knowledge base article. The knowledge base article that I can't get to because it's on your internal knowledge base? Yeah, that one. Oh, for fuck's sake. And then my favorite was...
So I have to work for your company to know how to handle this shit.
Oh, that wasn't the best one. The best one was a few months later when we found out the software wouldn't do something that their salespeople had told us it would do unless we gave them, like, you know, $100,000 more. They go, oh, well, we always make sure to size it correctly. We make sure the customer understands. And I stopped him right there and I said, no, you don't. Because if you had made sure the customer understood, I would have known about it. And I didn't. And he looked at me just, you know, staring daggers because he had no idea how to respond to that. Arrogant fucking pricks. Anyways. But yeah, they don't know how to handle it when reality doesn't comport to their bullshit. Anyways. But, Potterin took a job with Microsoft. Yeah, I think he did. They were wanting him to help with the Windows subsystem for Linux and a few other things. But anyway, so not too long after IBM bought Red Hat, I don't remember when they took control of CentOS, but they had been working with CentOS for a long time to kind of be the free, you know, unencumbered alternative to Red Hat Enterprise, because they liked the idea that you could do your testing on CentOS, you could do training on CentOS, and then when you wanted your server farm that was going to be reliable long-term, you'd deploy to Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and everything was just worked, because it was the same version numbers, same libraries, same support. In fact, you could even swap the repos into an update and turn CentOS into Red Hat Enterprise. So there was a lot of cool stuff with that. But this week... So they killed CentOS and then turned it into CentOS Stream, which was a little weird because now instead of being downstream from Red Hat, it's upstream from Red Hat. So they put their changes into CentOS Stream and do their testing there. And most of those changes come from Fedora, by the way. So the chain is now Fedora, CentOS Stream, then RHEL. And, you know, after they killed CentOS... There were a few other community projects. Well, I think they had some corporate backing, but Rocky and Asashi, I think I'm saying that right, Linux, were both basically alternatives to CentOS after CentOS stopped being CentOS and started being CentOS Stream. Well, Red Hat is now Yeah, Sid testing and stable and RHEL being stable. Yes, absolutely. To put it in Debian terms, Psychro. So, yeah, so Fedora is Sid, testing would be CentOS Stream, and stable would be RHEL. And then the old, you know, the replacement for old CentOS would be something like Rocky Linux. So Red Hat has changed their policies, and they are no longer going to be publishing the source packages for the stable releases unless you sign into the Red Hat customer portal. Now, that's legal. You can do that. Under the GPL, it's fine. You can do that. Because ideally, the only people who are using Red Hat Enterprise Linux have access to the customer portal, so you can get the source code if you're using the software. That complies with the GPL. But what I'm not so sure complies with the GPL is they've got a provision on access to the user portal, which is that you will not repackage and distribute source code, which is directly in violation of the GPL. So it's like, no, that language, that license is for access to the customer portal. But Red Hat has a lot of GPL code tied up in Office. And they're saying it's okay because you can still get to the CentOS Stream source code packages. But they put out a blog post basically, you know, saying other distributions like Rocky Linux and that were moochers. They weren't adding anything of value. And they didn't want to support them anymore. So they were trying to cut them off from the stable stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of Fedora and Red Hat-based distributions out there that this is kind of a kick in the pants to. So I don't know what this means for the future of Red Hat, at least outside of the enterprise environment. Because I don't think you're going to see a major change in the enterprise environment because they like having the support contracts and, you know, it's still backed by IBM. But I mean, this decision's obviously coming down from IBM because they see this as, you know, limiting competition in the enterprise space. So sort of like what we were saying earlier, are you about everyone seems to be going after their user base to try to squeeze more revenue out of it? I think that's exactly what this is. They want more people buying Red Hat Enterprise licenses to use RHEL in their development environment, in their VMs, and in their training, rather than using something like the old CentOS was, or what would now be Asahi, or is it Asahi? Or Rocky. I forget which is the second one. I could look it up. But anyways, yeah, so when they killed CentOS, that upset a bunch of people, but Alma Linux, not Asahi. I think Asahi is something else. Alma Linux. Yeah, because both of those aim for one-to-one binary compatibility with RHEL. So, but essentially, they're saying that if you're a paying user of Red Hat, no notice, unaffected. If you're using one of these other alternatives, though, that was built off Red Hat packages, well, you're probably not going to get the same stable packages anymore. They'll have to either be based off version pinning the CentOS Stream packages, which may or may not get backports. That's actually not clear. But, you know, they actually have in the licensing agreement when you buy a RHEL license that it, you know, restricts you from doing your own rebuild with the source. So I'm not sure how that works. Now, Red Hat does contribute a lot of code back via GPL. It's not like they've been bad, you know, it's not like they're bad open source citizens in that regard. And they still contribute all their patches upstream. So stuff that Red Hat fixes will eventually make its way back up and back down into other distros. But it's a little weird putting this restriction on top of GPL software, which one of the major tenets of the GPL is that you have the right to redistribute the source code. So, you know, instead of changing the GPL or relicensing the code, they're just throwing another license on top of the access to it to try to circumvent the GPL. So, and it's IBM, so who knows how litigious they'd be if somebody tried to flaunt it and do it anyways. You know, go grab their source code, make sure it's GPL or another compatible license that says you can redistribute the source code in that license, and just ignore the access license, because that would be very interesting to see which one takes precedent. Because they literally have conflicting license, user license agreements now.
Let's see which one it was released under first.
GPL. I can tell you that right now. GPL. Or equivalents. You know, some of them are going to be BSD license. It depends on the package. But yeah, they're saying that as the end user licensing for the portal to access the source code says you can't distribute it, but the code itself is GPL, so you should be able to distribute. I'm very confused about how this works. So RHEL has just really... Well, it certainly made me question, because I was looking at doing a Fedora distro for my main laptop when I finally switched it over to Linux full-time. And it kind of made me wonder if that's the right way to go or not.
I think they're just going to go with Red Hat is now just a corporate bit of software?
Well, they don't want it to be, because you can actually get a free license to install it so that you can develop software and stuff like that on there. Just get a developer license. Supposedly, you're not supposed to, you know, but Red Hat registers, sort of like Windows does, you know, your license key with the RHEL servers. So, you know, I mean, it's not impossible that you could still use it to develop software, but if they're literally locking their distro down, I'm kind of wondering if that's a wise way to go. And I've got another article here from Jeff Gearing, who does a lot of open source development. He's just flat out saying he's done with Red Hat. He's not going to support it on any of his software or packages anymore. Because he's just, you know, he was already kind of upset with them after what they did to CentOS, because that's what he did all of his development on. But apparently... and actually, the reason I'm linking Jeff Gearling's article is because he's got an update that he's got a post from 2020 where apparently when Red Hat moved the Git sources after they acquired CentOS, and they put out a promise then to keep the source code open for CentOS, which of course they haven't done. So basically, you just can't trust a corporation to keep their promises, even in the open source world. So, Cycro says Gentoo is the only one beyond Slackware that he would consider. Debian's all right. I mean, depends on which one you're building. Some of the downstream Ubuntu ones clean them out pretty well too. So I know Linux Mint's not bad. There's always Arch and Arch-based respins. I mean, baseline Arch is fine. Kind of a lot of work to set it up though. But like Manjaro and some of the respins are interesting. You got to check them though, because I know they're not always. You know, Manjaro's had some security stuff in the past. Oh, you don't like systemd? Yeah, don't blame you. It's a pain in the ass. I love when you go and read the logs and can't find Jack, and then you're gonna remember the systemd commands to figure out what actually happened on your system. But I'm not gonna read this whole Jeff Gearling blog post because he kind of goes over a lot of stuff. But basically, he's just saying that he doesn't trust Red Hat anymore. He doesn't want a Red Hat subscription, so he's just not going to maintain. He's not going to set up a Red Hat developer account, snag 16 licenses of Enterprise Linux for testing. He's just going to move to Debian for all of his stuff. And there's a lot of other developers who are posting in various forums along the same lines. So I'm wondering what this means kind of for the future of Red Hat, because they're kind of pissing off a lot of the core user base with this move. Because whereas it's not illegal, well, it's like that immortal line from The Big Lebowski. You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole. So, yeah. I'm not sure what I'm going to do on my mainline laptop, because I'm sure Fedora is still fine to use. I don't know if I want to. So, but, anyways, You guys have any thoughts on this?
Nope.
I'm just wanting someone to break the license just to see the argument. Because I think once you release it, you're stuck with how you released it. And you can change. I can see arguing that you can change it for future versions, and just everyone that doesn't like that forks from the old version. But this whole we're changing it midstream, like no, that's not the way licenses should work.
No, that's and you're right about that, because a really good example is Nessus. Nessus was open source software up until about version 2. When they went to version 3, they closed sourced it. And, you know, the old repos, the old open source versions of 2 were still out there, and it was forked and became a couple of different projects, including OpenVAS. So that's absolutely a thing, is if you decide you want to be closed source in the future, fine, but whatever you've released open source is still out there under an open source license. Now, I guess there's nothing to stop you from deleting the repos and hoping nobody's got an archived copy of the old one, but... You know, if somebody's already copied it, forked it, whatever, I mean, you've got no right to go tell them to delete it. So, but, yeah, I don't know where this is going to go, but you said you want to see somebody break that user license agreement and see what happens. I was talking about Oracle earlier. Oracle has a fork of Red Hat they call Oracle Linux, and it's basically the same thing as what CentOS was, what Rocky Linux is, and the other one, Alma. And Oracle is basically rebuilding Red Hat specifically to run Oracle products, Java, the database, things like that. And Oracle hasn't said anything about Red Hat changing their thing. So either they've got an agreement with them in the background to still have access and be able to do their own version of Linux, or we might see an Oracle versus IBM series of lawsuits over open source licenses, which would be hilarious. Because Oracle has a terrible reputation with open source, mainly because they bought Sun and then destroyed all the fun stuff that Sun... What? Oh, the broadcast box wants to schedule an update. So instead of letting me do any sound effects or click anything... Cancel. There we go. I love how automatic updates are like, there's nothing you're doing that's more important than installing updates. Fuck you. Have I said that the more I use Mac OS, the less I like it?
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. So, anyways. It's all speculation. It's all up in the air. But, I mean, somebody really, in Red Hat PR, really needs to get a hold of whoever's there writing their blog posts. And it's like, you know you're alienating half the people who write the code you guys use, right? So... even Windows is tolerable. Windows cleaned up is a little bit better, but because I've got iPhones and iPads, syncing stuff up to macOS is kind of nice, but just the day-to-day usage of the operating system is frustrating, because they take great care to hide options from you, even to the point that on certain screens it won't let you set a specific resolution without dropping the command line, because you can only pick medium or large text, as opposed to setting a resolution, which is really obnoxious, because the medium and large are not a correctly scaled resolution that matches the panel. So, like, going from a 2K to 1080p or something. No, there's some weird, goofy resolution with, like, a 600-pixel vertical that just stretches the hell out of the screen. So, yeah, I mean, I get why people like their laptops, because they're probably not fighting with hardware like I am, but this Mac Mini hooked up to a couple of different screens, it does not like these screens, and it makes that very clear. So, it's like native resolution or really fucked up resolutions, you can't scale it, shut up. So, And I did just get fitted for not bifocals, but the lenses that are like a pre-bifocal. So it's like, ah. Anyways. I don't have anything else on that. You guys have anything else on that?
I say we go to the next story.
Next story is from Gizmodo. Reddit is threatening subs to go public again, or else. And we all knew this was going to happen. The big subreddit protest of 2023 is Reddit right at the end of its rope. The company is reportedly handing out notices of a Thursday deadline to get the biggest subs that still remain private, telling them that they need to offer a reopening plan or else they will do something. The message is sent to subreddit moderators by Reddit employee account Mod Code of Conduct, were seen by The Verge. The messages did not include any mention of punishment if the subs didn't comply beyond further action, but the threat seemed to be the company's end of line. The company tried to cite Rule 4 of its Moderator Code of Conduct for violations, but that stipulation applies more to moderators remaining active in their own communities, not about whether or not those communities are private. On Tuesday, Reddit asked mods for reopening plans in the next 2 days, but now that the deadlines loom, the site is squeezing mods even harder than before. The company reportedly told moderators that the privatized subs were not going to continue, and that the communities, quote, will not remain private beyond the time frame we've allowed for confirmation of plans here, unquote. In response to Gizmodo's inquiry, a Reddit spokesperson did not comment on the messages to moderators, but referred to the company's ongoing blog post about the API changes. This isn't the first time the message board has gone after mods specifically. CEO Steve Hussman compared mods to landed gentry for taking the subs private in protest about the company's plan to charge for its use of the site tools. The site has taken the tack that the moderators' opinions were not the opinions of the full Reddit community and has threatened to replace them. However, that messaging doesn't really track when members of one of the biggest subs like RAW and RPix voted overwhelmingly to protest the API with pictures of comedian John Oliver. Does this article get into it? Okay, I'm going to stop reading this here because what a lot of the subreddits did, which is even more funny, is they switched a lot of these subreddits to not safe for work and started porn bombing their own subreddits to make them not advertiser friendly. So this article stops at people posting John Oliver over and over again. But a lot of them started just turning themselves into porn subreddits. And Reddit went nuts on them, too, trying to say you can't change it to not safe for work after the fact. And it's like, what do you mean you can't change it to not safe for work? Why not? So
we're now posting not safe for work content. We're free moderators. What are you going to do? Not pay me?
A dare you try and go off the reservation. Get the fuck back on there.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's like, wait. No, we're making too much money off this website with ads. You can't go fuck it up for us. This is our meal ticket. I don't care that you built these communities. You're going to keep doing it because that was what
go back to work, Janny. You fucking filthy Janny working for nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude, I would not, if you're a Reddit mod and you're eating these balls of shit, shame on you. Fucking shame on you. You have nothing left to complain about.
So.
It's pretty much Reddit treating them like fucking slaves.
Oh, yeah. No, they think they own them. It's yeah, like, what do you mean you're not going to build your community anymore? You will do this.
Fuck that. Delete. Gone. I'm out. I'll go start my own fucking Reddit. Fuck you.
Yeah, Cycros, you were absolutely correct. They are desperately trying to make money because they were trying to do an IPO. And, having their site go to shit like that over a change when they thought they had, it's kind of reminding them, it's like, you might run the site, but users don't have to use it, and they don't have to use it the way you want them to use it. If they don't, then you need to reevaluate. Because, like a conversation we were about to get into earlier, having free choice of how you who you associate with, who you communicate with online, and what services you use is kind of a fundamental thing. And forcing people to use various services is not going to work, at least not on the modern internet. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Facebook to send armed people to your house to make sure you log in once a day and post your thoughts so that they can sell you shit on in ads. But I don't think Reddit has the budget.
Well, some legislation coming down the pipe in my neck of the woods that probably is going to see me landing in a bit of trouble doing this show in the future.
Well, the government... you said they've threatened it a couple of times now.
Yeah, this one's going through the parliament right now. We'll see. It'll be risking 12 years jail and I think $7 million fine for doing this show.
For what? Just talking?
I'm quite sure you're not government approved anymore, are you?
I'm not even using my real name. How would I be government?
In the U.S., you don't have to be government approved. So we don't even have a way of becoming government approved.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
But one thing I can see Reddit doing is, okay, if you're not going to host, or if you're not going to be actually hosting your content here, we're just going to get rid of your subreddit.
Well, they kind of threatened that. What they wanted to do was they wanted to kick out the existing moderators and promote new members of the community who will, you know, toe the party line to be moderators so that they could, reopen the subreddits. But one fun side effect of this, and this is from CNBC, Google execs admit users are not quite happy with the search experience after the Reddit blackouts. Because I ran into this. I don't know about you guys. Pravtbar Raghavan, Google's head of search, admitted users are unhappy when employees asked about the Reddit blackouts and their impact on results. Raghavan said the company is testing a number of ways to improve search results for more authentic answers. On Monday, Google introduced a new feature called Perspectives, which will surface discussion forums and videos from social media platforms like TikTok, YouTube, Reddit, and Quora. So they're trying to get more sources because... pretty much what was happening, I don't even need to read this article, what was happening was if you Googled something, especially if you were trying to look up something technical, a lot of the early results would be Reddit posts. Well, if you tried to click on those search results and you got this subreddit is private, you know, you can't get what you want, you might be able to pull it out of the Google archive, which is what I ended up doing, but, and it didn't even help, but, yeah, I mean, I could see this being a problem because a lot of people were just appending site reddit.com to their searches when they were looking for something, especially something technical, because they were finding people's Reddit posts, and that was more quick than, you know, Quora or, you know, all the dead internet blogs. I'm not quite sure what else to call them anymore. I mean, has anybody else noticed that? You go to Google something and you get, you know, about a page or two of results that are nothing but like these auto-generated key-clicking,
Google's been shit for about 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
you Google
bullshit.
Anything and it says 600 million fucking results and you can't go past page 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's shit. It is absolutely shit. I cannot find Steve's Garage blog or something like that on Google.
You'll find lots of these... you know, ad farm blogs that have just
fucking
generated
A, man.
Bullshit articles and fill them with ads.
Fucking Autobahn shit, things like that, but I can't find, you know, Steve's auto blog because he's just some fucking backyard mechanic. You know what I mean? Yeah, Google is shit, dude. Bing and DuckDuckGo are pretty much going the same way.
Yep. So...
yeah, just face it, like, you are stuck in a digital fucking prison right now with the internet. They have managed to corral it so far down from what it was. You are stuck in the children's library section right now.
Well, it's like we said a couple of months ago. We lost. The internet...
oh, yeah, it's fully corporate.
Yeah, it's corporatized. It's done. You know, there's still going to be a handful of private sites out there. I mean, G15 is one of them, but, you know, outside of the Weekly Show and the IRC channel, it's not like I'm running a forum. Mainly because I just don't want to put up for it. But...
yeah. I don't have the interest in running my own page anymore. And even if I did, the new government rules would see me pretty much fucked.
Yeah, how dare you exercise freedom of speech?
We don't have freedom of speech or freedom of association. I'm under no illusions how I live.
Well, the freedom of association is an interesting one because it's not so much the who you want to associate with, it's the who you don't want to associate with. It's like, no, you will use this government social media site and you will make 2 posts a day and you will click on one ad.
Yes.
If you don't have freedom of association, it goes both ways.
Wait, we've got a choice right now. Do we vote yes or do we vote no? But there's no choice in voting no. You must vote yes. Because if you don't vote yes, we're just going to have the fucking vote again until you vote yes. Right? Do you see how this is working out?
It's going to be like the Swedish parliamentary elections a few years back. You're going to keep voting till the EU gets the answer they want.
Exactly. And that's how it's going to go here as well. Okay. I'm under no illusions.
So, just the first little bit of this article here. Google users have long been able to append their search queries with the term Reddit to find helpful resources on a topic. When thousands of Reddit forums went dark earlier this month, that tactic lost its effectiveness. Many pages and search results were suddenly inaccessible or unhelpful because moderators of some of the most popular forums turned their pages to private as part of a widespread protest of Reddit's decision. It's an issue that Google execs say is partially resolved by a new feature called Perspectives. The Perspectives tab, now available on mobile and Google app in the U.S., promises to surface discussion forums and videos from social media platforms. So, basically, Reddit, When Reddit went dark, Google freaked out because all of their search results, you know, were taking people to these block pages.
What does that show you? It's a very, very incestuous relationship with the big five medias.
Oh, absolutely.
That and people were finding the Reddit forums very useful and were just pinning them to the top of their search results.
Well, they largely were. I mean, unless you were talking about a verboten subject. You know, see the Donald for a fun example. You know, whether or not you agree with the memes and the bullshit, I mean, it's like, really? You're going to ban a subreddit dedicated to a political candidate? I mean, really? You know how that looks, right?
I don't care how it looks, man. No one cares how it looks. The optics is not a thing anymore.
Well, they're assuming that you won't know that they've done it. You know, it's like, yeah, you'll scream about it for a month, and then it'll just disappear. It'll fall off the zeitgeist, and you won't even know that they've done it anymore. That's what they're hoping. It's like politicians who, I said we weren't going to get political tonight. I lied. That guy who was recently saying, oh, the evacuation from Iraq was very orderly. It's like, you didn't see the people falling off the airplane? You know. It's like
they say the most asinine, inflammable shit, and then just go, we're saying that to reclaim the narrative, you bigot.
Oh, the we're coming for your children, yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. We're just saying it to reclaim the narrative, you fucking bigot. It's not real.
That's not how that looks, though.
Yeah, it's not how that's what I mean. Optics is gone, dude. No one does optics anymore.
Well,
I don't care how it looks.
Dave Chappelle had a great line on it. You may not be a whore, but you're wearing a whore's uniform, and that shit is
exactly
confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So. Anyways.
Next article.
This is that YouTube article you sent me, are you? So.
Okay.
Not surprising at all, just kind of, I mean, you knew it was going to happen. YouTube requires users to pay for YouTube Premium if they'd like an ad-free experience. But some users have bypassed ads by using third-party apps or ad blockers. Instead, I know because we put a couple of them in Dojo links from time to time. Now, it looks like the video platform is testing a way to fight back. Redditor RedInMe apparently came across a new 3 strikes pop-up menu while watching YouTube on their PC with ad block enabled. And they've got a screenshot here. It says, video player would be blocked after 3 videos. It looks like you might be using an ad blocker. Video playback would be blocked unless YouTube is allow listed, or, yeah, because they want to put whitelisted, so it's allow listed, or the ad blocker is disabled. Ads allow YouTube to stay free for billions of users worldwide. You can go ad-free with YouTube Premium. Yeah. So, and their video, their buttons are allow with ads or try premium. And so it's like, well, what if I'm not using an ad blocker? Well, sucks to be you. The pop-up menu in the screenshot suggests the user will be barred from YouTube viewing after watching three videos with an ad blocker enabled. The article just reads the text, which I just read. For what it's worth, none of the people at Android Authority saw the pop-up menu on their computers while using an ad blocker. It's unclear if the type of ad blocker has an effect, but the author didn't see the menu while using uBlock Origin. They've got a poll going, wanting to know if it will get you to pay through for YouTube Premium. And let's just see if we can get the results. 4% said yeah, 8% said no, they'll sit through the ads, 59% said they'll use other workarounds first, and 30% said they'll go to other platforms. I think that 30% is going to be bigger. We've asked Goop.
I wonder if Rumble's coming along quite well. Let me just have a look. Holy shit. It's better than YouTube. Let me just check Odyssey. Yeah, it's even better. Let me check. Our BitChute's still the same. Fuck. yes, we got multiple fucking competitors out there. You can eat a bag of dicks.
Android Authority has asked Google for confirmation of this three strikes feature on YouTube, as well as whether it's a test and exactly how it will work. They also asked what the policy would mean for Google accounts of offending users, and they'll update if they ever get back to them. So Google just hasn't responded. So when was this posted? 10 hours ago. So it's possible that Google just hasn't had a chance to respond. Fair enough. A lot of times they'll request for comment basically right before they hit publish, so that they technically requested for comment, but they didn't actually give them time to respond. So maybe might keep an eye on this article tomorrow and see if they post an update. But, I mean, yeah, it's hardly surprising that we're going to start seeing more and more of these sites trying to get people away from ad blockers, because that's how they make their money.
Well, like Reddit, it went black, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
I haven't used it since. Wasn't a big user of it anyway, but I don't intend on going back. YouTube would be the exact same thing. I'll just go to fucking Rumble or Odyssey. Or keep hanging out. I probably use BitChute more than I use YouTube, because there's no sign up. There's no sorry, you need to be an adult to watch this. Well, fuck you. There's plenty of sites. I mean, it took a while, but there's another version of LiveLeak up and running now.
Yeah.
It's like the tighter they clench their fists, the more sand just pours through.
Well,
maybe that's good. Maybe it'll bring back the old internet, but it just has to be a little bit harder to find, or it's word of mouth.
Yeah, it's cyclical, because it's like these companies, they get built by, you know, being really user friendly, providing people with what they want, making a good platform, community gets built up. Then they decide they need to grow, they need to keep going, so they start, you know, they bring in investors, and investors start, you know, wanting to have a say over how they operate. They want to see more revenue, so these platforms start doing ads. Oh, you're getting big enough, so we need to start censoring content, because if it's, you know, could be offensive, it's not advertiser friendly, we've got to start getting some of this stuff off. Good example, I'm not even talking about politics, is when YouTube started banning a lot of the gun channels. You know, there were several YouTube channels that got banned that actually had really good gun information on them about, like, how to operate the weapon safely, how to operate it at a range, you know, the various precautions you should take when what you're doing it, how to safely handle it. That's good information to have out there, especially in the States where, you know, guns are a thing.
How to properly clean a gun, disassemble it, and reassemble it.
Here's how to take it, break it down. You know, here's how to unload it so you can do all this safely. I mean, that's good information to have out there. And, you know, YouTube took it down because it wasn't advertiser friendly. So, you know, obviously, you know, the priorities have changed from being a useful and good platform to being, you know, an income generator. And then they just start squeezing tighter and tighter. They start doing more user-unfriendly things. They start selling data. See Twitter. See Facebook. They start inserting more ads. They start trying to block ad blockers, like YouTube's doing now. you know, they get more aggressive with the advertising. They try to get aggressive with the subscriptions, a la Netflix and their password sharing stuff the past couple of years. They start trying to do what they can to shut down competition, a la Facebook buying every fucking social media platform that threatened it the past couple of years, a la Red Hat, like we talked about at the start of the show. And, you know, at that point, somebody starts trying to get away, you know, most of the users want to get away from it, and if there's an alternative, they'll migrate to it. That's actually how Reddit got started, was everybody leaving Dig. You know.
Well, I'm waiting for YouTube to start censoring history videos. I know they've got rid of quite a few.
Yeah.
Because it's not the kind of history they want.
Go ahead, Batman. You were going to say something.
I was going to say, I've only really heard one, what I would consider, really good argument on using ad blockers against sites that actually use ads for the revenue, and that is they don't vet the ads, and the ads could have malicious software. But if you have a company that this is their model and they're actually vetting their ads, I think they have the right of saying, if you're not going to abide by seeing the ad, either buy a subscription or get out.
Well, if
they do have to pay people.
That's true. That's true. But if that's
you're right, man.
If that's the model they're going to go with, then they have a responsibility to make sure the ads are not dangerous malware, like you were talking about. They have a responsibility to make sure that the ads don't impede the usage of the website. Instructables is a good example of that, where that thing is so full of ads you can't hardly use it. Another good example of that is, think of all the download sites that used to be out there, Major Geeks, Two Cows, and stuff like that, where they started covering their download pages with banner ads that also said download here. That looked like the download link. So it became a guessing game of which link was the one that actually downloaded the thing you were looking for, and which one was just going to give you a, you know, a toolbar installer or whatever. So, you know, I would say if ads are what drive the business, then they have a responsibility to not be stupid with the ads, because that's why people install ad blockers. Because I guarantee you, nobody cares about getting a couple of, you know, sponsored results in their feed or a little banner ad on the side, unless the banner ad is for something they really don't want to see. Like if they're sitting there looking at you know, cats and puppies on RAW, and the banner ad is for a hardcore porn site.
Well, on this one, I haven't seen banner ads on YouTube, and on the couple machines I watch that don't have ad block on them, the channels I watch, they're not loaded with ads.
Haven't seen the little pop-up banner ads at the bottom of the videos?
I haven't been getting hit with them.
Oh, okay. Well, you're doing good on picking your channels then, because I know a lot of times when I'm just looking for something and, you know, click on them, you know, I've had videos where, if you don't have ad block going, it's like an ad plays every 2 minutes, and they're not skippable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've had that with the Roku.
Oh, yeah.
The only time I've had an issue with anything like that is my phone on some of the longer blues compilations I listen to, because some people throw up a blues album, and it's 2 hours long, but it's all these artists threw it up there for free just so you'll listen to them. It's their way of getting started, and they're just doing blues standards.
Sure.
And all of them, great musicians, and I'm like, why aren't you guys famous? And the reason is, there's also other great musicians that happen to be famous, and these guys just aren't. There's not a good reason for it. But they didn't go through and actually mark for ads, because I know some content creators can and do that. So YouTube auto does an ad, and it will do it in the middle of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's annoying as fuck. But the other channels, I'll watch a 30-minute piece of content, and there's two ads. Generally, one of them's even skippable.
Well, like you said, YouTube gives a lot of the creators a bit more choice about, you know, how aggressive they want to be with them. But at the same time, I'm not just talking about YouTube. I mean, yes, YouTube is the subject of the article, but just websites in general, if you want to make the argument you shouldn't be using ad block, then you need to make sure your ads aren't so obnoxious that I feel like I have to. I started using Adblock 10 years ago because you'd visit one website and have 30 fucking pop-up windows show up. You had to use Adblock, otherwise your computer would crash. And you'd get drive-by downloads and malware. Like, you had to. It was not a choice.
And I've used computers that raw dog the internet. No fucking way, man. I hate that shit.
So
I have the ad block.
That was actually one of the popular things when Google was first getting started, was that their ads weren't that obnoxious. They were context-based on the page. They were usually just some text links. And it was clear that they were a Google AdWord thing, and it wasn't a problem. But, you know, nowadays, I mean, Madman, do you run an ad block right now?
Right now, on my main rig, I run one. On my laptop, I don't. But when I'm actually watching content, it's been mostly on the Roku recently. And it doesn't do ad block.
Well, maybe you're just getting lucky with the channels you picked. But
Rumble and YouTube, as far as the not subscription, just open source random ads. But I've been also using generic free streaming services that have pretty much the old TV model of on a 45-minute show, you're going to get 45 minutes of show and 15 minutes of ad. See, and I just get up and take a piss during those 3-5-minute breaks.
See, I don't just run ad block on all my mainline machines. I run a freaking DNS-based pie hole to try to block the ad servers at a network level because some of them are so bad. But, I mean, Madman, get your laptop out and just try browsing on a few other websites than what you normally go to. And, I mean, be careful about it because you can't get malware. But, you know, and just see how bad some of these websites are. Like, load up Instructables. That's an easy example. On that laptop sometime, you'll see what we're talking about, where some of these pages are just nigh on unusable because of the amount of ads all over them. And on top of that, if you're on a metered connection, say a cell phone, you know, if you load a small page and it loads up several megabytes of ads, you know, that's burning bandwidth that you're paying for. So there's an argument there, too. But you're not wrong that, you know, if that's how the website operates and they want to block people using AdBlock, I mean, that's a fair argument. I there were a couple of news sites that, you know, blocked their access if you weren't using AdBlock, or if you were using AdBlock, they blocked you. And one of the first ads they put up there was a malware dropper. So it's just, for fuck's sake, you know? So you've really got to, you've really got to be careful about it. But
there's
right,
only a few ways to monetize is ads, eBay, or subscription. And this group's a good example of why they don't do subscription. A lot of you go pirate.
Sure. No, you're not wrong. I mean, I'm not arguing with that at all. They absolutely have the right to do it. It's sort of like what we said before. You're not wrong. You're just an asshole. They absolutely have the right to do it, but if you don't want people running ad block, then you need to make sure your ads aren't so obnoxious that the website's unusable. That's my point.
Oh, my argument on this one is at least YouTube, and I'm going to go, I'll just vouch for the channels that I watch. They're not unusable without ad block. And some of the ones are, how much of that's YouTube and how much of that's the content creator trying to maximize the number of ads he shows you.
Well, that's true. No, that's absolutely a point.
I will point out that a couple of the ones I watch, they make a point at the beginning to say, we minimize our ads, we're going to do 3 up front, and then there's going to be 2 hours of no ads at all. By the way, we also sell a book. Go check out our book on Amazon. And they're using YouTube to drive book sales.
Sure. No, that's fine. Again, I'm not saying don't do ads. I'm just saying if you make them that obnoxious, like it was a few years back, that's why people install AdBlock. To this day, they just do it out of habit because it was so bad. I mean, go look in the spam folder of your email box. You think they've stopped?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, that's my point. So
I don't look at spam email. And if it goes to spam, unless it's an email I'm looking for, I'm sorry, you'll have to resend the email, and hopefully it won't go to spam.
Yeah, no, I get you, man, and you're absolutely right. If that's the business model these sites need to go to, and they need to, and they feel like they need to block people using AdBlock, that's fair. They have the right to do that. I just feel like if they don't want people to do AdBlock, they just don't give them a good reason to, you know? If your ads aren't that obnoxious, then they won't. But, you know, these days it's pretty much a requirement to just use the internet. So, you know. Anyways, I think we're just going to circle on that one for a while if we keep going. What do you think?
What's the next show, story?
Next story, this is a Reddit post, but that's because the articles I found all linked back to it. No, seriously, the Reddit post is the source. So I found a bunch of articles.
I'm just thinking it's cool if they're not all black.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them have unblocked by now, but this is from a subreddit called AI Game Dev, which is probably one we should pass to Suave. It says, "Hey all, I just tried to release a game about a month ago with a few assets that were fairly obviously AI generated. My plan was to just submit a rougher version of the game with two or three assets or sprites that were admittedly obviously AI generated from the hands, and then to improve them prior to actually releasing the game, as I wasn't aware Steam had any issues with AI generated art. I received this message. Hello. While we strive to ship most titles submitted to us, we cannot ship games for which the developer does not have all of the necessary rights. After reviewing, we have identified intellectual property in game name here, which appears to belong to one or more third parties. In particular, game name here contains art assets generated by artificial intelligence that appears to be relying on copyrighted material owned by third parties. As the legal ownership of such AI art is unclear, we cannot ship your game while it contains these AI-generated assets, unless you can affirmably confirm that you own the rights to all of the IP used in the data set that trained the AI to create the assets in your game.
Wow, that's a big ask.
Yeah. We are failing your build and will give you one opportunity to remove all content that you do not have rights to from your build. If you fail to remove all such content, we will not be able to ship your game on Steam and this app will be banned." "I improved those pieces by hand so they were no longer obvious signs of AI, but my app was probably already flagged for AI-generated content, so even after resubmitting, the app was rejected. Hello, thank you for your patience as we reviewed game name here and took our time to better understand the AI tech used to create it. Again, while we strive to ship most titles submitted to us, we cannot ship games for which the developer does not have all the necessary rights. At this time, we are declining to distribute your game since it's unclear if the underlying AI tech used to create the assets has sufficient rights to the training data. App credits are usually non-refundable, but we'd like to make an exception here and offer you a refund. Please confirm and we'll proceed." It took them over a week to provide the verdict, and while previous games that the author has released have been approved within a day or two, it seems like Valve doesn't really have a standard approach to AI-generated games yet. And I've seen several games up that explicitly even mention the use of AI, but at the moment at least they seem wary and not willing to publish AI-generated content, so I guess for any of the game devs here, be wary of that. So he's then said he's going to go try posting it on itch.io.
Yeah, but I thought Steam did a pretty good approach with that.
It's interesting.
We're not too sure about anything yet, so just to be on the safe side, fuck off.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's, I think, it's pretty good. I mean, yeah, until some legal thing comes down the pipe, like, because I would not want to see this happen to Steam. Like, they approve all these AI games, and, you know, 2 years from now, there's a huge court case over fucking who owns this shit. Next thing, Steam has to pay out X amount of money to all
there,
these people.
There are a couple of court cases that are pending where some different people have filed lawsuits against OpenAI because they think ChatGPT was trained with like medical data and other things that they probably didn't have the rights to use for that. So it really is a question of if you don't own all of the training data that's used to train that AI chatbot, can you claim ownership of anything it generates? So it's an interesting point. And like you said, Steam, I think Steam's probably got the right approach for the moment. Although it also, from the post, sounds like it might not be consistently applied. So it's possible that they've just gotten a new memo down and they're telling people to start rejecting games that look like they're obviously AI art. So
I do like that they actually explain why it's being rejected. There are other sites where you'll be blacklisted or your shit taken down, and they don't really tell you why. I'm not talking about you, Facebook, because I know you would never do anything like that. Or YouTube, who is completely, completely straightforward with everything that you do. But you know those other less reputable sites.
So
the shady ones, like all those porn sites.
Yeah. Anyways. So I mean it's an interesting stance that Steam is taking. I can't blame them because you're right. A lot of this is up in the air, and it is cool that they said, here's where our problem is. You're right. That's actually kind of rare that they're telling you what the problem is, as opposed to being like, yeah, you're banned. Sorry about your luck. So,
I think, hasn't someone come out saying that AI shit can't be copyrighted?
That's been some opinion, yeah. Because it's not made by humans. You remember the monkey selfie? Where the person who had the camera tried to claim the copyright, whereas a lot of people argued that because the monkey took the picture that no human owned the copyright, therefore it was just public domain.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same question. It's like, no human is generating this art, so who owns it? And apparently, I did see some posts probably about a month ago where there were artists who were starting to use some of these AI generators to generate reference art. So, you know, they punch in kind of a rough description of what they're looking to draw, get a couple of generated pieces, and then go, you know, draw the actual piece while using the AI-generated art as reference. So, what's, you know, how does that work? Especially
that's
if, like,
a derivative, unartistic artist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if they're, like, tracing it, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I honestly do not know. I mean, I know your stance, are you? They weren't using a brush and paper, and they didn't make it themselves, so it doesn't count. But, and well, I meant
I'm
they didn't make the
I'm
paint and
particular.
Paper themselves.
Yeah, I'll let you go with making your own paints. Let's just say that. I'm willing to give you a little leeway before you go.
Go out, catch the beetles that make the right color, smash them up.
Come on, man. You got to admit it. You can't.
And I'll go with, even if you paint it yourself, that doesn't necessarily mean it's art. It could just be shit on a canvas.
Yeah. I have a very defined definition of what art is. Everything else, anything, I don't know, like even some of the modern stuff, I think is absolute shit ass.
Oh, I think a huge chunk of modern art isn't art.
Yeah.
It's modern, but it's not art.
Art has to stir something in the viewer, listener, whatever, right? So if you hold up a blank canvas, although this raises a question, so you put up that blank canvas and you spin this masterful tale that has your audience in tears about why you ultimately chose to not put any paint on the canvas, that's performance art. I don't think the canvas itself is art.
The canvas is not art. Your story is story.
Yeah,
is our form of art.
It's a prop for a story.
Yeah. So that's an argument for some of the modern art stuff. But just walking up and looking at it, it's like it's a diagonal line. That's not art. That's just a kid with a ruler and a Sharpie.
Yeah. Piss Jesus, not art.
No, that's just gross. So... you could claim it's an attempt at art and that some people might find it to be art. I don't. And art is subjective to the eye of the beholder. So, you know, that's why they say finding your audience is a thing. Anyways, that's... You guys have anything else on that before we do the dojo?
Nah, dojo it.
Yo! What I have for you tonight is actually a really nice little write-up from Positive Security, in that they put together a AutoGPT escape. So they were able to manipulate a AutoGPT instance to try to summarize a malicious website, and that would cause it to execute code that they could then do things like change the prompts that are presented to the administrator user when they, you know, are asked to approve in a prompt, to approve a prompt, because that's got an option, or to exit the Docker container and run arbitrary code, or to break out of the sandbox and run Python code that I've been fed to it. It's a really good write-up. They've got demonstrations. It looks like it's been fixed in the latest version of AutoGPT, but they were definitely, you know, they've got some videos here. They definitely broke out of it and had arbitrary code running on it. So it's not surprising with something like this that they're finding, you know, sandbox breaks and getting the chatbot to go pull things in that it shouldn't, causing, you know, like you said, you know, like we said, arbitrary code execution. But it's cool. And it's good understanding, and it's good to see, because it kind of shows you what's going on behind the scenes, that, you know, hey, if you know, if your chatbot has to go summarize a website, it has to go read in that website. And if that website has malicious code in it, what's that going to do to the chatbot? It's vulnerable just like any other code running out there. So, again, they've got instructions here on how to do it. They've got some example code. And I think they've got some, I think it's got enough in here that if you wanted to go grab the vulnerable versions and recreate it, you probably could. So, it's a really good write-up. Goes into the details and even into escaping into the host system from, you know, the chatbot, which is just awesome. So, anyways, I just thought I would throw that out there. It's a good read, especially if you're into this kind of stuff. But that's all I got. Madman, closing thoughts.
Here's our chatbot hacking a website. Here's the website hacking our chatbot.
Yeah, pretty much. How are you? Closing thoughts.
Yeah, see what Madman just said. It's just the eternal loop now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. I knew it was only a matter of time. But
bots hacking bots, hacking bots, hacking bots.
It's starting to sound like the internet, like if you do subscribe to the dead internet theory.
Okay. Yeah, I subscribe to portions of the dead internet theory. I think there's large chunks of the internet that are dead internet. I don't think the whole thing is. But like those ad farm blogs we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
those are all dead internet. Those are generated by a script that's using early versions of these chatbots to just generate articles with keywords in it based on a celebrity's name or common Google searches, because you can still go see what the most searched crap on Google is, so it's easy enough to pick terms and fill out articles and flood a website and give it fake dates so it looks like the stuff's been up for a while and just cover it in ads. Especially if it's one of those, you know, slideshow articles where you got to click through 10 times and it loads a new ad at the bottom every time to try to get to the part you're looking for, and then you figure out it doesn't even have it, you know, because at that point it's more morbid curiosity, kind of doom scrolling, whether you know, it's like, you know, it's not there, but you just got to check and make sure. So,
yeah.
Sort of like, you know, when you open the fridge for the third time to see, oh no, I really am out of beer. Damn. That's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and whatever we replace the subreddit with in the IRC tonight. Al Hazard, Cyberlard, Psychros, Madman, myself, and Sardonyx. We did closing thoughts. What's left? Sound effects?
Sound effects.
Sound effects. You guys have any requests for sound effects?
I have no more fucks to give.
We can do that one. Where'd it go? I've got it. It's on the soundboard. Where the hell is it? Here it is.
I tried, and I tried even more. I cried, and I can't recall what for. I pressed, I pushed, I've yelled, I begged in hopes of some success. But the inevitable fact is that it never will impress. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have run up dry. I've tried to go fuck shopping, but there's no fucks left to buy.
These nuts.
I've no more fucks to give, no more fucks I've tried to get. I'm over my fuck budget and I'm now in fucking debt. to get everything done. I played by all the rules, but I very rarely won. I've smiled, I've charmed, I've wooed and laughed, alas, to no avail. I've run round like a moron to unequivocally fail. I've no more fucks to give, my fuck fuse has just blown. I've been hunting for my fucks all day, but they've upped and fucked off home. I've no more fucks to give, my fuck rations are depleted. I've rallied my fuck army, but it's been fucking defeated. The effort has just not been worth the time or the expense. I've exhausted all my energy for minimal recompense. The distinct lack of acknowledgement has now to realize that I don't give a fuck at all. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have flown away. My fucks are now so fucked off they refuse to fucking stay. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have gone insane. They've come back round and passed me while they're fucking off again. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have all dissolved. I plan many projects, but my fucks won't be involved. I've no more fucks to give, my fucks have all been spent. They fucked off from the building and I don't know where they went. I've no more fucks to give. I've no more fucks to give. I've no more fucks. I've no more fucks. I've no more fucks to give.
You're a bad person. You're a bad, bad person. You're a bad person.
Piece of trash, in my view.
Sounds good, no doubt. Call the night.